This is Adrian from Rusted Satellites, and I'm speaking with Canberra-based trumpeter and composer Ben Marston. How are you, Ben?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks.
You've got a background in jazz. You teach jazz at Australian National University. You've performed with some well-regarded Australian jazz musicians. Now, some of your earlier recordings fit pretty cleanly under the contemporary jazz banner. But yep. With your latest release, In Walked Pris, you've teamed up with Norwegian sound artist Simon Lovgren to create something very different. You've taken a step into ambient electronics and experimentation. What took you in this direction?
Maybe almost 10 years ago, I started listening to an American trumpet player called John Hassell, who obviously is kind of quite well-known in the ambient and electronic world. And he had, there was an album that then came that he released sort of 5 years after that, that had a live sample artist named Jan Bang. And basically I got really interested in the sounds that he was sort of generating, and that led me to start kind of experimenting myself, I guess. And then actually to... was fortunate enough to be able to go and study with Jan, who kind of works in a town in Norway called Kristiansand in the university there. So I was able to go and actually work with him a little bit. So that, I guess, it was the influence of Jan Bang and John Hassell that sort of started that direction.
Okay, and what kind of work were you doing with Jan over in Norway?
So basically it was two things. He curates a festival called Punkt, which is basically, it's a live remix festival, which puts remix as the, I guess, the main element of the entire festival. So you would listen to a set of music from a wide range of groups, and then you proceed directly to another venue to hear the remix of that, basically directly after you hear it. So I got to work on that festival in the production of that, but then also at the same time he taught me some individual lessons, but then also we worked together making music together, but also worked with kind of in group settings as well, making sort of just, and basically him introducing me into the idea of what live remix is. I mean, we're sort of we've become familiar with the notion of what remix is, and that's been around for a long time, but the idea of a live remix element in music and how you go about doing that and basically just experiencing it. There's no one really in Australia that I know of that's doing it well. There's a few people, but it's not a very kind of prevalent sort of thing, so just to be able to experience that as well was exceptionally beneficial to understanding the process.
Sounds pretty technical, but what kind of process is involved in the live remixing? Is that a lot of sampling, or is that a lot of instrumentation alongside existing instrumentation, or how does that work?
It comes in different forms, but I guess the basic the way that Jan does it is it could be in a large group, it could be in a small group, and that changes, I guess, the way that you do it. But essentially, it's all sampling. Like, for example, when we played together, he would just have a feed from my mic, and then he would be grabbing samples of that and then using that to interact musically. So on one level, it sort of is technical, but what I found really interesting is that actually it's got a lot more to do with listening than it does with the technology.
Yep.
For it to be successful, you sort of really have to be aware of what sorts of sounds work well being remixed, and you have to be very switched into the listening side so that then you can grab these things, because you are grabbing them in real time.
Yep.
And then you are playing them and then manipulating them in real time. So it's much more of a listening exercise than it is understanding the technology, and he's not using anything particularly crazy as far as his particular setup. It is just his ability to to listen. So that was actually a large part of what I learnt was how to listen for these sorts of things and how to grab them and then what to do with them. And he was very much of, he kind of didn't really care what equipment you used to do that. That wasn't really the thing. It was how you listened to grab that sort of stuff.
Do you find parallels with this process to traditional kind of jazz improvisation techniques?
I think that one of the reasons why it probably fits so well in that European jazz setting is that it to me is a direct, it has direct links to that, the jazz improvised tradition. So you can't do this successfully if you're not sensitive to what you're listening around you, and it's about finding, I guess, a complementary space in the music, finding how you can put a sample that's gonna enhance the music, not take away from the other musicians. So I guess in a a real conversational sense, which is exactly what I feel when you improvise, even in a pretty traditional jazz setting, it's a very conversational sort of thing. So yeah, absolutely, it's sort of, I know there would be a lot of purists who would not consider it to be jazz at all, but I think the principles are actually taken straight out of that tradition, and I guess it's just that's just putting a contemporary spin on it, really.
Yep. And these processes that you've gone through and involvement in the Punkt Festival, what similarities in that output are there in your release with Simon Lovgren? Is that a similar approach?
Yeah, actually, how we went about making that music drew directly from that experience. And so Simon himself I met him there, obviously, and he was one of Jan's, I guess, proteges. And how we made the music is exactly that process. So I actually, on first listen, it's kind of sometimes hard to pick up where the trumpet is, but about 98% of the sound is actually generated from the trumpet. So what happened was is that I improvised four solo, I guess, excerpts, what you'd call them, sort of 3-minute improvisations, really. So I recorded 5 of those that I felt had a little bit of thematic material running through them, but they developed. And he took those elements and remixed them, which involved him grabbing things in different ways and generating a kind of a track for me to then play over again, which he sent back. And we did that process about 3 or 4 times. So everything sort of evolved pretty organically, really. It sort of felt, at the start of the process, I wondered how it was going to go, being in such a distance. Obviously, him in Norway and me here. But by the time we got into it, it was actually quite an interactive thing. And I didn't do like lots of takes to get the right take over the top. I'd sort of just listen once and then play. And he would keep manipulating those sorts of things. And then that's how we ended up with those 2 tracks, was kind of that process of kind of continually remixing things and continually playing over the top. So yeah, it was basically directly out of those concepts from the Punkt Festival and the study I did in Norway. Yeah.
Compared to some of your earlier works, this release could be interpreted as having a bit of a darker tone. Do you see it this way?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's funny. I don't know. It sort of seems to be a bit of a Scandinavian thing. The people over there are actually really wonderfully friendly, and they seem to be really pretty content. But both music and film seem to have this dark, almost melancholy sort of thing about it. I mean, Simon has a strong leaning towards, I guess, contemporary techno music, and then I think his sort of, you know, that Norwegian flavour comes out. I sort of feel like my music is sometimes introspective a little bit, so which then I guess complements that. It is quite a dark sound. The name for those Blade Runner fans, it comes out of that sense of like a dark science fiction sort of idea, because that Inwar Chris, the Chris is that one of the female android characters. So that sense is where the music comes from, and I think that's where that feeling sort of come from.
And as you were saying with the recording process, there's obviously some geographical hurdles to get past. But do you have any intention for any live performance with Simon Lovegren to publicise this release?
In the immediate future, unfortunately, no, because of the logistics involved. If we're sort of thinking from my perspective, thinking strategically about how I've gone about things, this is trying to test the waters to see whether that would be possible. So that if the music seems to connect with some people, then that might precipitate exploring some avenues to try and get us together. So no in the immediate future, but look, fingers crossed, that would be excellent. I would love to be able to spend time, either him coming out here or me going over there and spending some focused time together, because obviously if we can make this sort of work over such a distance, being in the same place, creativity is going to really flow, I think.
Yeah. Are there any other artists, jazz or experimental, that you'd really like to be able to do work with?
Actually, at the moment, I've finished a tentative recording just to see how it would go, but just done a bit of work with Australian jazz piano player Hugh Barrett.
Okay.
And mainly because he's quite open to these remix ideas. So, yep. You know, it is not necessarily a common idea in Australian jazz to do this, so, you know, I can't just go up to my usual sort of crew and say, do you want to do this? They sort of looked at it, yeah, I don't know if I can do that. But Hugh's really open to that and interested in the idea. So we've been working together on, and it's ended up sounding a lot more like just a contemporary jazz record rather than what we've got with Simon.
Yeah.
But so that's happening at the moment. I'm just sort of working my way through about, there's some, obviously with this kind of music making, there's the technical issues. And so you sort of need to do a little bit of research and how it's going to work before you want to spend any money to kind of really get things happening. But we seem to have hit a good spot, so we'll see what happens. I'd like to be able to get to the point where I could release some of that music too, because it's really nice. Well, it's a terrible adjective, but, you know, it's really good music.
Yeah, I look forward to hearing the outcome of that. Inwalked Priss is released in 7-inch format, which translates to two sides, roughly 4 minutes each. Can we expect an EP or an album at a later date?
That would be definitely what I would love to be able to do. And if this release looks like there's a place for it, that is the logical kind of progression, is to develop this particular project further. I would love to be able to do something like that.
Great. Well, thanks so much for your time today. We really look forward to hearing what comes out in the future, and keep us posted.
Yeah, awesome. And thanks so much for having me on.
No worries. Hopefully you'll come up to Brisbane one day too.
Yeah, well, look, the plan is, whilst I'm not doing it with Simon, I'm doing sort of a little bit of a mini kind of tour around the country, just solo, this solo laptop and trumpet. So,
okay.
I think the plan is to be up in Brisbane on the 29th of July.
Okay, great.
So, can't actually remember where it is at the moment. It's all kind of, it's just all kicked off right now. So, but yeah, the 29th I should be up. Just plug in the Inwar Chris.
Great. We'll keep an eye out for that. Thanks again, Ben.
Cool. No, thank you.